She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
Like so many of us out there, I could afford to lose a couple pounds here and there, but I am not going to count calories. And here to tell you why it's a good idea not to count your calories is wonderful Jonathan Baylor. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're so glad to have you on, Jonathan. You know, we've had some great conversations in the past, and I just think you are such a wealth of knowledge. So jump right in and just tell us, why is counting calories not the way to go?
Well, besides the fact that when we focus on calories, we ignore everything else about food, and really it's the everything else that matters. Most importantly, counting calories paints food as negative and something that needs to be avoided, whereas in reality, the right food in abundance is the key to curing obesity and diabetes.
Well, what are some of those right foods?
Think about things that provide us the most of what's essential for life: vitamins, minerals, amino acids, fatty acids, and the least of things that are addictive and toxic, like added sweeteners and a lot of processed starch and trans fats. And those are non-starchy vegetables we could eat raw, nutritious proteins like humanely raised animals and seafood, whole food fats like nuts and seeds, and lower fructose fruits like berries and citrus.
I love that you talk about, you know, not looking at the calories, Jonathan. I speak all over, and one of my biggest things is I say that, you know, looking at the nutrition facts panels and reading the calories is so 2012 and 13. The new 2014 is all about ingredients. I mean, it really is, you know, and we wrote a book about it, and, you know, I think the key is really looking at the ingredients. So I love that you talk about that and, you know, that you focus on that, because I think people really need to understand that better.
It's all about, like you said, getting back to food. We've been on this calorie train for the past 50 years, and look at where it's gotten us. It's gotten us to a world where any fast food restaurant can say, here's our healthy choices, and that's just a list of things they've shrunk the serving size of. Don't mention the pink slime or the trans fats or the added sweeteners. We've shrunk it down to a 100-calorie snack pack, so clearly it's healthy for you. False.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's so funny, Jonathan, because I had an argument with somebody. It was about a Special K bar, and I didn't want my daughter to. I got really defensive, and she was like, what are you talking about? A Special K. Special K is great. And I was like, do you see how many ingredients are on that package? It's really, you know, you've got to take a closer look. And I didn't try to be condescending, of course, but I was just like kind of shocked that she thought it was a health food. And then it's like back to marketing and advertising with Andrea and I talk about a lot, is they really do try to fool the consumers, don't they, Jonathan?
Absolutely. And this is, let's not call it a calorie conspiracy, but for fun, let's call it that for a second. If I'm a food manufacturer and I want the ability, and that's an oxymoron in and of itself, food manufacturer, that doesn't make any sense. And I want to be able to sell you anything. What I need to do is come up with some other measurement, like a calorie, and tell you that that is the arbiter of whether or not something is good or bad for you. Then I can sell you anything I want, shrink the serving size, and tell you it's healthy.
No, you know, and it's so true. And even if you look at a package, you know, like let's say, Lisa, you're talking about the Special K, look on the front of the package, and some of their products say, you know, 90 calories a bar. And that's what people think is making that product healthy, because it has 90 calories. Or, Jonathan, I mean, please join me in this. I'm going to say, we talk about this on our website, but what about Skinny Cow? Really? North America looks at a cow that's emaciated and sick and says, that's beautiful? I mean, come on.
You're exactly right. And how brilliant of a marketing scheme is it when these companies are saying, here, I'm going to give you less food and charge you more for it? That doesn't make
exactly
much sense.
It doesn't. And like, and also that the fact that we need to, you know, as consumers, that we need to be given pre-portioned like packages, like the 100-calorie snacks, because we can't control what we're eating. But at the end of the day, I mean, I know for myself, Jonathan, you could speak to this too, is I don't ever count a calorie. I eat what I want to eat. I eat, you know, I do eat some packaged foods, but I never look to see what's in it. But I'm eating whole foods, eat nuts. Nuts, you know, a handful of nuts has well more, you know, more than 100 calories. And you know what? I'm not overweight. I'm thin. I'm happy. I eat what I want to eat, and I never worry about what I'm putting in my mouth.
That's really, really the key, is underlying this calorie mythology is this horrible, horribly demeaning moralistic idea that we are inadequate by default, and that unless we count our calories, we're just lazy gluttons who are clearly going to overeat, despite the fact that no other species on the planet chronically overeats. So why would we if we ate the right foods? And it, and there's this mythology that, oh, just this 100-calorie bar, what? Like, if you need 2,000 calories conceptually to run your body, I don't care if you eat a 100-calorie bar, you're going to have to get 1,900 calories from some other place to feel good. So we're not going to trick our body into starvation. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. You know, Jonathan, just if you could just tell us, like, give us a good breakfast, a good lunch, a good dinner, because I think a lot of people are like, okay, so you mentioned the foods, but how about the combinations? What do you think is good?
Breakfast, depending on time, if you have a little bit more time, it's going to be something egg-based with a bunch of vegetables. So scrambled, frittata, omelet, whatever, with a bunch of vegetables in there. Kale is especially good when sautéed. I have some other vegetables I like as well, but we don't have time to get into that. If you have a little bit less time, you can do a healthy cereal alternative, so something that's a coconut flour or a coconut meal or an almond meal base. Got a bunch of recipes for this up on my website. Or you can do a green smoothie. So think green leafy vegetables, oranges, strawberries, and some healthy protein powders. Lunch is going to be pretty similar to what you're already eating, sans the starch. So if you go out for Thai food, for example, eat the Thai food. Just eat the whole main dish, not the rice. If you want to have a sandwich, just put it on green leafy vegetables instead of two slices of bread. Same thing with dinner. Like if you want lasagna for dinner, that's fine. Just use eggplant instead of wheat noodles. There's all these ways to make smarter substitutions where it's not about giving up any flavor. It's about using healthy whole foods as a substitute for these toxic artificial processed products.
And nowadays, there's so many great alternatives to noodles. Like, have you tried the kelp noodles or the mung bean noodles? I mean, they're yummy.
They're yummy. And the thing I've been doing most recently is just taking cabbage and using a mandolin to slice it up really finely and using raw cabbage as a noodle substitute. Adds this wonderful crunch. It's delicious. It's inexpensive, and it's incredibly nutritious.
I like that with zucchini as well.
Yeah, zoodles. I call them zoodles. Zucchini
zoodles.
Zoodles. That's funny. Yeah, a lot of raw people, the zucchini to shred. That's actually a great idea, too. So, Jonathan, we have about a minute left, and I'd love you to just tell us a little bit about the research, because I know you're very based on research, and also to share your website with us. Talk a little about what research you've done.
In every other area of our life, over the past 50 years, there's been dramatic enhancements. Computers were the size of our homes, basically, 50 years ago, and now they're the size of a human cell. Are we to believe that the theory of 50 years ago, just eat less and exercise more, which is analogous to telling a depressed person, just frown less and smile more, and that will solve your depression, is all that we've accomplished over the past 50 years? No, no, no. There's been dramatic advancements when it comes to eating and exercise, scientific progress over the past 50 years, and that's what I've spent the past 13 years of my life doing, is uncovering that research and translating it so that you don't have to have a PhD to understand what's going on.
Well, you say that. And where can people find you, their website?
Check out CalorieMythBook.com. Again, that's CalorieMythBook.com.
Perfect. And you can also follow Jonathan at Jonathan Baylor on Twitter. Jonathan, thank you so much for being on our show today.
My pleasure. It's always wonderful to chat.
And it was a lot of fun, too, which makes us happy. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stay well.